Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green. And what I want to do on this and the next episode is look at how you would cloud enable an existing line of business app. And for our purposes here, we're going to use a WPF app, although it could certainly be an ASP app as well. And we're going to see how to do that. And before we do that, of course, we should answer the question, why would you want to do that? What is the problem we're trying to solve? So here's the scenario. We have an existing application that you see running right here. It does expenses. And this is a what I would call a canonical WPF internal line of business app. It's a WPF front end talking to a WCF service, talking to SQL Server. It's about as normal an application and a familiar an application as you can get. And it works fine, and it runs internally, and we're all good. The only downside to it is you only get to use it if you're inside the firewall, right? Because the SQL Server database is inside the firewall, and the WCF service is running on a web server inside the firewall. So as long as I am at work on the CorpNet, I can use this application. Now, of course, you're asking, well, what's wrong with that? Well, here's what's wrong with that. The application was written to manage a scarce company resource, and that resource is money. And the worse we get at managing our expenses, not only filing, but also approving or rejecting expense reports, then the worse job we're doing managing this corporate resource. So you know how it goes. Here's what happens. You have an expense report, you file it, I get an email that tells me that my manager knows that there's an expense report that he or she needs to do something with. Days go by, I might get another email telling me your manager still hasn't done anything with this. Days go by, and every day that goes by is a day we're not managing the money correctly. So I then eventually run into my manager in the hallway and say, hey, can you approve that expense report? And he says, yeah, I'll get to it. And of course he doesn't. And then on the weekend, as he's standing at the soccer field watching his kids run back and forth, he remembers, oh, that's right, I was supposed to do expense reports. Or he reaches into his pocket, picks up his phone, starts doing email. He sees the email that says you haven't approved the expense report yet. He can't do anything about it. He can read email, but he can't access that data. So what we really want, and you as a developer should think about providing your users, is the ability to access the data wherever they are, right? That's the whole point of being in this mobile-first, cloud-first world that we live in, is taking those resources, corporate information, ability to do things, and giving people the ability to do them whenever they want outside of work. It's not a requirement. We're not saying you have to work on the weekend or at night, but if you wanted to, you certainly could. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take this existing WPF application and see how we can cloud enable it so that you can access this information from anywhere, and then we'll later on at the very end touch on how you might make it able to be accessed from additional front ends. We're not going to cover that necessarily, but we'll see how you can do it. So let's stick with the first issue, which is that I can only use this application if I'm inside the firewall. Okay, so it's an expense report application. You create new charges. You create new expense reports from the existing charges. It's pretty straightforward. Let's take a quick look at the code. And this code will all be downloadable. I'll give you links to it, as well as the demo script I'm going to follow to do this. And then while I'm on the topic of that, there's a longer version of this as a Microsoft Virtual Academy course called Cloud Enable a Windows Presentation Foundation LOB App, which was delivered by Brett Stateman and Chris Harrison. The sample I'm using, all the demos I'm using are straight out of that course. They go into a lot more detail than I'm going to go into, especially on the Azure side. So if you like what you see here and you want to learn more, you should definitely go watch this. They also did an ASP.NET MVC version of this course. Exact same concept, and all of the Azure stuff is the same, only the starting point in that version was an MVC app. For us, it's a WPF app. So we have a WPF app here, which uses MVVM. So we've got views and view models and services. We talk to a WCF service called Expense Service, which is here. Here's the code. And we're using Entity Framework. And then we have models and data in this data project. So if we look at expenses repository, here's the entity framework code that's running. We also have an initializer which will create for us, there, where's my F12? Go to definition. There we go. Which will create sample data. So we're using entity framework code first, and when we first run the application, we create the database and the tables. Okay? All right. So, I'm not going to spend a lot of time digging into the details of this. If you're interested in looking at this, it's a pretty good example of a well-written and easy to follow along WPF app. Makes good use of MVVM and some abstraction layers, so I recommend that. Now, we're going to cloud enable this without changing a single line of code. All we're ever going to do is change config files, interestingly. The WCF service in the web.config points to the database. So this connection string called default connection is pointing to the database living on localdb v11.0. We decided for this not to use SQL Server and just use localdb because it was less for you to have to install. So we've got a database called expenses.data living in localdb. And then the application, if you look in the app.config, points to the WCF service, which for our purposes here is being hosted locally. You, of course, could host it on IIS. Okay, so let's go look at the data. We can do this in a couple ways. We can do this from inside Visual Studio. I can go into SQL Server Object Explorer and expand to this localdb v11.0. Go into the databases. Here's expenses.data, which has three tables: employees, charges, and expense reports. And this was created and populated when I ran the application, so there's data already in there. Okay, so we can look at that from inside Visual Studio. We could also look at it from inside SQL Server Management Studio. So, we have our application, we have our service, we have our data. Life is good. We want to cloud enable it for the reasons we just talked about. So we're going to do two things in this episode. We're going to do some additional things in the follow-up episode. But in this episode, we're going to do two things. One, we're going to move the data into Azure. And then two, we're going to move the service into Azure. We're not going to touch the client. We're just going to tell the client, rather than calling the local service, call the service in Azure. And we're going to tell the service, rather than talk to local data, talk to SQL Azure data. Okay, so first things first, move the data. There's a couple ways we can do this. We can do this from the Azure portal. We can also, since it's just SQL Server, do this from SQL Server Management Studio. So let's see both of those. So let's see doing it from the portal. So I'll go to the Azure portal, which is portal.azure.com, and I sign in as myself, and the next thing I'm going to do is create a database. So I click New, and I choose Data and Storage, and I choose SQL Database to create an Azure SQL Database. Now, a SQL Database needs to be on a server. If I have existing servers, I can use those, or I could create a brand new one. So what I'm going to do is give this database a name. I'm going to call it Expenses Toolbox 1. And then for the server, I could use one of my existing servers, of which I have many, or I can create a new one. So for our purposes here, let's create a brand new server. What I love about this now is that you can actually name the server. In the past, you had to accept these unique names that it gave you, but now you can actually give it a name. So my database server will be vstoolbox.database.windows.net. I'll add me as the admin. I will create a password. Okay, and I'll locate it. Rule of thumb is to locate it closer to where you are, so I'll put it in the West US, and I'll click OK. And then create. And here's my database. Expenses Toolbox 1, which we are told and reminded is on the server VS Toolbox. Okay, now notice that there's a button here to open in Visual Studio. All right, let's do that. Let's take a look at this database. So I'll click Open in Visual Studio. And it launches the most recent version of Visual Studio. I have 2013 and 2015 preview in this machine, so it launches 2015. And now I can view the database in the SQL Object Explorer. Now, when I was practicing this morning, I was kind of hoping that it would show up, but it didn't. I got an error message telling me that it couldn't connect because this IP address isn't able to talk to the database in Azure. So what you would do then is you'd come in here, and notice it says configure your firewall to ensure this machine can access the database. You'd go in and add a rule adding the IP address for your computer. But because I already did that this morning, Azure is already accepting this. And because I'm reusing the server name, might have been cached or something. So if you get the error message that tells you that this particular IP address can't talk to the database, this is how you solve it. Configure the firewall, add a rule with the IP address. Okay? And then you could click Open in Visual Studio, and you'd wind up here, right? So visualstudio.database.windows.net. I'm connected. If I look at the databases, I would have thought that it would have shown me my database. No, but it's not. So let's try this the old-fashioned way. Let's disconnect. Let's click Add SQL Server. Change this to vs.toolbox.database.windows.net. Log in. There's the message I was hoping for. Okay. This is what happens when you practice earlier. Things get cached. Okay, cannot open server because client with IP address 137.107.192.161 is not allowed. So now what I need to do is configure my firewall, add a rule, which I'll just call toolbox, and the IP address 131.107.192.161. You can enter a full range or you can enter just the IP address, either way. Okay, save. Okay, and now if I came back into here, let's actually cancel out of here. Let's do what we wanted to do in the first place. Open in Visual Studio. Okay, log in. And there's expenses.toolbox1. So now we have a connection to that database, which at the moment, of course, is empty because all we did was create an empty database. When you create a database, you can choose to create a database from a sample database, but we just chose an empty database. Okay, so now we know that we have this database. We could also, of course, look at it in SQL Server Management Studio because it is, of course, a SQL Server database. So let's connect to Toolbox. I'm not sure if I changed the password from earlier this morning, so I'll just re-enter it. Look up databases. There's expenses, Toolbox 1, and of course it's currently empty. Well, now we have a database sitting in Azure. So all we need to do now is tell the WCF service talk to that database instead of the one you're currently talking to. So we come into the application, go to web.config, here it is, and all we need to do is change this connection string. Let's get a little bit more real estate here. Change this default connection string to talk to the SQL Azure database, the Azure SQL database. I'm going to copy this and comment it out, because I always like to have the old ones sitting around. And now what I need is the connection string for my database. Easiest way to find that is come into the portal, click on Properties, Show Database Connection Strings, and here it is. Here's the ADO.NET connection string. So I'll copy that, come back into web.config, and update the connection string. So what do we have? VStoolbox.database.windows.net. Database is expenses toolbox 1. User is RO Green at VStoolbox. Password is, and at the moment, I'm going to hard code this, although I will show you later on how to avoid that. But for now, that's okay. Just between you, me, and the tens of thousands of people watching this, there's the password for the database that I will delete before anybody gets a chance to use it. Ha! All right, let's save this. Now let's run the application. Local WPF app talking to local WCF service talking to SQL database sitting in Azure. One way you can tell it's working is there would be a delay, because it takes obviously a lot longer for the service running on this computer to talk to Azure than it does to talk to a database sitting on this computer. So if it starts to take longer, that's a good sign it's working. Okay, here we are. Now remember, the application, when it starts up, creates the tables, populates it with sample data. So now what we can do, let's get out of here, shut this down. Let's go back into SQL Object Explorer. Let's right-click on this. That's the local version. I want the version on Toolbox. So now let's connect to, that's right, it was open in 2015. That's why it wasn't open in 2013. But now it's open in 2013. There we go. Here are the tables. And if we right-click and view data, there's the data. And again, of course, we can come over to SQL Management Studio, do a refresh on this, and here are the tables, again, created in SQL Azure. So what we've managed to do, again, is to take this local application, didn't change a line of code in the application, just changed a config file in the WCF service, and we're reading data that's in the cloud. Okay. There's another way to do this, and that's rather than create the database from scratch, is to basically export an existing database. Because if you remember, when we first looked at this, we have an existing database called expenses.data sitting on localDB. There it is. And this already has data in it. So what if I just want to move this over to Azure? It's very easy. I right-click on it. I go to Tasks, and I can deploy database to Windows Azure SQL Database. I can actually take this local database and make a copy of it up in Azure. I can also run it in an Azure VM. They cover how to do that. Brett and Chris cover how to do that in the Microsoft Virtual Academy course. I'm not going to talk about that here, but if you're interested in that, they cover that. So you got a couple choices. You can run a Windows Azure SQL Database or SQL Server in a VM, and you could choose either one based on, you know, whether you just want to take an existing database and move it over to a VM, or running SQL Server in a VM gives you the full features of SQL Server. The Azure SQL has all the features we're going to need here, but there are some things that it doesn't have that SQL Server has. So if you need 100% of what's in SQL Server, you could consider running in a VM. For our purposes here, everything we need is in an Azure SQL database, is in Azure SQL. So let's deploy this database to Azure. Connect, choose our server, and let's just reuse Toolbox. Database is going to be called expenses.data. We can create a backup file locally. And then go. For a small database like this, if you've got a pretty good network connection, it goes pretty quickly. Obviously, if you have a nice big database, it would take a lot longer. And it failed. This was happening to me this morning as well, and I don't completely understand why. So let's do something mildly different. Let's put it on a different server. Not 100% sure why it doesn't work on VS Toolbox, but if I put it on one of my other servers, it worked fine. So let's just do that. Yep, works like a champ. So not 100% sure why it wouldn't go on the server we just created. So it creates the database on the target, moves all the data over. And we're done. See, that was fast. It's a puny database. It should have been fast. Okay, so now let's connect to that server, which is the one that begins with A, right? The AD, that's the one. Let's connect to that server. And here's expenses.data. And we have managed to send over all of our data. And execute that, and there's the data. So now, not only have we created the database, also the tables, and also all of the data. So now, all we need to do, again, is come into web.config and tell the WCF service, talk to that database. So instead of the test one, if you will, let's talk to the production one. So what we need is the name of it. I find one of the easy ways to get the name is go into the connect dialog and copy it. Okay, so instead of being VS Toolbox, it's AD8, etc., etc. The database is expenses.data. I could go to the portal and copy the connection string, but at the moment, this is a little bit faster, and I can stay inside Visual Studio. And the password for this is actually Windows 8. Okay. And now when I run this, same client, talking to same service, both local, talking to the database that I just imported, essentially, deployed locally to SQL Server. Now what I have is the data in Azure. My service is still local, so the next thing we want to do is get the service into Azure. So what we're going to wind up doing is hosting that WCF service in an Azure website. Okay? A couple ways we can do that. We can do that from inside the portal. We can also do it from inside Visual Studio. So if we go to Server Explorer, expand Azure, expand Websites, Visual Studio will show us a list of all of the Azure websites we have. And then all we need to do is right-click and create a new site. Pick the right subscription, give it a region, declare whether or not we want a database. So you can do this from inside Visual Studio. You can also do it inside the portal. So let's go to the portal. And, you know, as always, you would decide whether you like doing things from inside Visual Studio or from the portal. So we'll say new, go to web and mobile, click web app, give it a name. So I'm going to call it expenses toolbox. I've got service plans. I forgot to show you this for the database, but there's various service plans you can do for databases, basic, standard, more capabilities or less. Because I'm using my MSDN subscription, I don't have any choices for websites. You get 10 free websites with your MSDN subscription, and so that's what I'm using here. So I don't have quite as many options for creating the website. And then you are limited to 10, so before I do demos like this, I always go into the portal and see how many websites I have and delete enough so that when I create a new one, I don't exceed the 10, because then it just fails. All right, so let's create a website. Okay, here's my website, Expenses Toolbox. I can try it out either by clicking on the URL or by clicking Browse. And there we go. I have a website that I now want to put the WCF service on. So rather than host that service on IIS internally, I'm going to host it on IIS in the cloud, which is an Azure website. Okay, so into Visual Studio, call up the Solution Explorer, right-click on the WCF project, and select Publish. Select the publish target, Microsoft Azure Websites. If I'm not logged in, I will be asked to log in. Choose a website, which is Expenses Toolbox. That's the one we just created. Okay, good. Click Next. I can set other options if I want. This start preview is nice because when you click that, it will show you all of the files that are going to be uploaded to the server. Right now, of course, it'll be all of them. But if you just make some changes and then republish, you can see that only those changes get sent up. Okay, let's publish. Okay, now to test this, we say expenseservice.svc, and if we get our standard test page, that's good. Okay, so now the WCF service is hosted in Azure, pointing to the database in Azure. Now all we need to do is come back into the application, go into app.config, and tell the WPF app to talk to the service sitting on Azure. So again, I like to copy this and be able to easily bounce back and forth. So now all I need is the URL. Save. And then I don't need the WCF service running anymore, so I'll make the WPF app the only startup project. And now run the app. And now, again, same front end, same WPF app, talking to WCF service hosted in Azure, talking to SQL database hosted in Azure. We've cloud-enabled this application without changing a single line of code. All we did in the application was change configuration files. And of course, you can do that without even firing up Visual Studio, right? Can't you? Because it's just a text file. So that is how easy it is to get started cloud-enabling this application. Now, all I need to do is take this machine, my wonderful Surface 3 Pro, and go anywhere. I could be in Starbucks. I could be on an airplane. I could be anywhere I want without having to VPN in. If I have access to the internet, I have access to this corporate data. I could create new expense reports. I could approve expense reports. I can run this application from anywhere. Okay. Now, there's a couple things that I want to do a little bit differently. The first is, hopefully you had this uncomfortable feeling when I hard-coded the password into the config file, which is just text. Hopefully you thought that was kind of goofy. So let's fix that. Let's go into the portal, and we're going to go to the website. We're going to click Settings. We're going to go to Application Settings. Then we're going to come down here and where is it? Ah, here we are. Show Connection Strings. And we're going to create a connection string, and we're going to call this one Default Connection, which is what this is called. And then we're going to copy this connection string with the password, but we're going to put it at the server level. Okay, so now we can come back in here and comment this out. Don't even need it in the first place. We can just go back to our original connection string. So in reality, we never even had to change. Once we got this service hosted in Azure, we can leave this connection string as local DB. Okay? Which is part of the WCF service. So we need to republish. So let's do that. Let's republish this. And notice that the only change that should go up is the config file. Okay, and now when we run this, again, without having the password hard-coded in the config file anywhere, now it reads the connection string from the website and the application works. So the good news here is that it was really, really easy to cloud enable this application. We didn't have to change any code. We just moved the data, copied the data into Azure. We took the WCF service and published it on a brand new Azure website we created. Then we pointed the service to the Azure data. We pointed the app to the Azure service, the service running on Azure. And we're up and running, right? So the beautiful thing is that no matter where we are, if we have access to the internet, we have access to this service. Now, hopefully you're asking yourself, hey, wait a minute, it's just a app, it's just a WCF service hosted in Azure. So what that means is that anybody can get to this data. So you right now could go to your browser and enter this URL and get the same test page, and then you too could build an app that talks to this data. So what we've managed to do is take data that was only accessible behind the firewall, put it in the cloud, and make it accessible to absolutely everybody, which is not good. Next week, we will fix that. What we're going to do is we're going to add authentication to the service so that you have to log in with your corporate credentials. We'll do that in the next episode. What we're also going to do is see how you can call back from the cloud, call back internally to either services or databases that aren't going to be hosted in the cloud. So we'll do the simpler stuff this week, and we'll do the next scenarios next time. So hope you enjoyed that. Hope that's giving you some ideas for how, not only how you might do this, but what types of apps you might want to do this with. We'll finish it up next time, and we'll see you then on Visual Studio Toolbox.